to this week's episode of Never Thought I'd Say This. I am your host, Jody Sweeten, along with
Celia Behar.
No, the great and wonderful Celia Behar.
Oh, right.
I'm trying to make this
right.
A thing.
I know. Wait, I was looking at
like
you.
Fetch, you know, I'm making it a thing.
Did you see? I was looking at you when you said that and we didn't even start laughing. I thought
I did, although I was looking at your fabulous plaid overalls, which I'm shocked to see you in such happy sort of holiday attire.
Well, I bet you'll never get it.
Did you lose a bet? What happened?
Well, I guess I'm sure you'll never guess what brand they are. I'm sure that you can't.
Free people?
Right. Yeah.
I mean, that's really cute. I'm not saying they're not cute. They're super cute. I just rarely do I see you
plaid overalls.
In red plaid overalls. Yeah. You just look like a little Christmas elf. I should put you on my shelf.
Yeah. Okay. Yay. I don't know. I saw them and I really liked them and I just wanted them. And I don't know. I have so many pairs of overalls, to be honest. It's kind of like,
yeah, you do have a lot of overalls, but. But
yeah, I do. These are my only colorful ones, I guess. Justin told me the other day that when I was wearing a pair of overalls that he thinks it's cute because it makes him just think that I'm going to go finger paint later. It's like, okay, great. whatever. I'm a 47-year-old child. All right, wait, before we get started, because you knew this was happening, but I just got that.
We already started, by the
no,
way.
You know what I mean. Okay. And I never thought I'd say this kind of moment.
Yes.
Not that we talked about what the fuck we were going to talk about before we started this, but that's okay. So holidays obviously are upon us.
Yeah.
And it's Hanukkah.
It's all up on us.
Right. So Hanukkah starts on Thursday.
Right.
And
Thursday night, correct?
Yeah, Thursday night. By the way, I'm not sure if you have my menorah, if I have my menorah. I got to look. I don't know.
You have the menorah because I bought one this year.
Okay.
So she can light her.
I have one. Great.
So wait, I need to know though, does B light the candles on Thursday night?
Yeah.
That's when we, okay, got it.
The one.
And when this will be coming out after the holidays.
Right.
So you're safe to tell this story about Dustin's present.
Right. So it's about one of the, so obviously like, you know, I wanted to get Dustin some stuff, but the girls wanted to get him something too. And so I, you know, asked them what they wanted and they came up with this idea that at first I was like, I don't know if I can pull it off, but I have pulled it off. Dustin was in a movie 1,000 years ago. It was over 20 years ago called The Breakdance Kid. The trailer is one of the, I think I've shown it to you.
Oh, I've seen it.
Hey, George, it's one of the funniest things. He's wearing this like ridiculous wig. It's a story of about a guy who basically gets hit by a truck and then decides that he wants to like be a professional breakdancer. It is the dumbest and most hysterical thing. He's wearing like a crop top.
Oh yeah, I remember vividly the crop top. Unfortunately.
And a headband. Like it's so ridiculous.
Yeah.
One of the lines in the trailer is he's like, I just want to be a B-boy with wild style. That's what he says. So,
but you know what wild style is, right?
Yes, I do. And it's just all wrong. Like the whole thing's wrong. And a B-boy, you know, breakdancing from the 90s or I guess 80s. Anyway, Lulu.
Well, wild style was a crew.
Right. Was a crew. Exactly.
Okay.
He wants to be a B-boy with wild style.
Got it.
And Lulu actually has him in her phone as B-boy. Mm-hmm. And they will from time to time just bust out with, you know, a line from the trailer. So for his gift, they were like, Mom, we should have a t-shirt made that says B-boy with wild style with, you know, a picture from the trailer. And I was like, oh my God. And then they were like, and we should all have matching t-shirts that just say I'm with B-boy. Okay.
Oh my God.
I just want you to know what came today. You can tell everybody what he's wearing in this.
Oh wow. Okay, so it's a lot. It's Dustin with like breaker pants on and a red like
muscle shirt
tank top. Yeah, like muscle shirt V-neck with a white headband and long bad hair and then a red armband and one glove. Breaking style, you know what I mean? Like he looks like that.
And it says B-boy wild style. Yep. And then the girls and I, although one of the t-shirts didn't come, so maybe it's just going to be the girls and I'll get out of this. It just, they have the same picture and it says, I'm with B-boy.
Oh my God. That's amazing.
So that's what the girls decided they wanted to give him, for Annika. And then for some reason in this order, I got something random that I just want to show you because it's really funny. First, they sent me the wrong t-shirt. It's supposed to be four of that t-shirt.
Right.
What they sent me by accident.
The Mona Lisa?
With?
With, I can't see what that is. With an alarm clock? A bomb?
A bong. The Mona Lisa with a bong.
Oh, with a bong. Oh my God. How did they know?
I don't know.
That's the best fucking secret Santa surprise gift you could have gotten. That's amazing.
I know.
So with a bong. Okay. Yep.
I'm just saying, like, and that means that they sent Dustin's picture that says I'm with B-boy to some random person that's going to open
that
up.
Expecting the Mona Lisa with a bong. And they're like, what? Who is this dude? Who is B-boy? What is happening?
Why am I with him? Why is anyone with him?
Yeah, he shouldn't be with anyone. Right.
So there you go. That's the start of my holiday season. And
I'm sure everyone listening to this is like, oh my God, we made it through. We made it through the holidays.
Yep.
Let's just, yeah.
I mean, I hope we make it through the fucking holidays. This has been.
Well, yeah. I mean, I've got, you know, a fun surgery coming up. So I'm like, oh.
Do you want to talk? And I still have to tell the story about what happened with my mother's holiday gift to us.
No, I think that's really the more important one is the one with your mother's holiday gifts.
Well, since we're on sort of a holiday kick, my mom sends me like bizarre stuff from Israel.
Wait, we knew. Are you talking about the gift that got left? And
yeah, we never did talk about it. We started to, but then we actually canned that. We just didn't do it.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
But my mom sent a gift to my house, which I tell her all the time not to send anything to the apartment because of, you know, things get stolen on my doorstep. She did it anyway. And the girls and I got back and the package had been opened. And so as we're walking up, I was like, well, whatever she sent, someone took.
Right.
No, they opened it, looked at what she sent. And we're like, they were like, nah, we don't want that.
Oh, wow.
Yep. They were two puzzles, which I know you like puzzles, but they were like, you know, cat puzzle. Like it was not.
Yeah, no, not like the cat hanging from the tree. Hang in there. No.
Yeah. It was kind of that.
Done, like, ironically, I'm not mm-hmm. for it.
Yep. So I'm not the only one that thinks my mom's presents are crap. People that are stealing things off my door.
Puzzle.
Like, nah. We don't want that.
I mean, they've gotten smarter though, because at least they're not like just take the package and run and get home with like two cat puzzles. Like, fuck, man, I thought this was like a Nintendo Switch.
But at least they opened it first and they didn't have to like
run. Like, oh, never mind. You can have this.
Yep. Yeah. Screw that. Yep. So that's that. All of this, I know we're past the holidays by this time when it airs, but this has been the start of my holiday season. And as you mentioned, the start of your holiday season will be basically them wiring your jaws shut.
No, it's not quite that severe. But yeah, it's no fun oral surgery and I don't love that. So
you know,
we're trying to record. You know, we've recorded as much as we can, and so I won't be, I think, you know, I'll be quiet for a couple of weeks, which is shocking, but probably not on the internet, which is not shocking.
Not shocking. And I don't, but you know, Mescal's probably a little bit like, woohoo.
Yeah. He's like, oh, you wait, it's going to be hard for you to talk for a couple. That's too bad. No, not at all. He actually was like, babe, if I didn't like talking to you, this really wouldn't be a great relationship. I was like, that's
probably
point.
True.
That's yeah. very
Well,
but I'm going to miss it just a little bit for like a couple of weeks. Be like, see, I could just not be talking and you'd miss it. No, not yet.
You could just text him every 5 seconds, like every single thought you have, just to be like, is this better? Is this more fun? Do you like it now? Is this good?
I would.
Just
you know what? That's a great idea. And I'm going to do it and blame it on you. So
no, don't blame it on me. Yes. Thank you. Well, I know we've talked about a series. We've thought about doing our serious, never thought I'd say this, since I started it with some ridiculousness. We could still do it, seeing as my mom had just come up.
Yeah.
Well, so then that would be my never.
I really feel that in today we cannot talk about the importance of mental health and mental health help enough.
No, it cannot be emphasized enough. I mean, this is an incredibly stressful time for everyone.
Yep.
In varying ways. And, you know, it's really important to be able to take care of your mental health and be able to do it safely from your home without having to worry about, you know, going out into the world right now.
Well, and that is where BetterHelp comes in, because BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. You can start communicating with them in under 48 hours. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It is professional counseling done securely online. There is a broad range of expertise available, which may not be locally available in a lot of areas, but
I love that. You know, I mean, because so often, you know, there are people that need help in a specific area of their lives. And if they live somewhere outside of a big city, often, you know, they don't have those resources. So like, this is such a great way for people to be able to get some of those resources and help in areas of their life that, you know, they just might not be able to otherwise.
Well, and the service is available for clients worldwide, which is amazing. And you log into your account anytime and send a message to your counselor and you'll get timely and thoughtful responses. Plus you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions. So you don't ever have to sit in a waiting room. And, you know, right now it's really important to be able, like you said, to be safe at home and get therapy, which is amazing.
It really is. And BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today. And if you want to visit their website and read testimonials that are posted daily, there are so many testimonials on there of how this has really, really helped and worked for people. So visit betterhelp.com/say this. That's better, H-E-L-P, and join the over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. In fact, so many people have actually been using BetterHelp. They are recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. So if you are a licensed mental health professional and you are looking to be able to help more clients, you can also check in with BetterHelp. And a special offer for Never Thought I'd Say This listeners, get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/say this. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/say this for 10% off your first month at BetterHelp.
Go ahead and take care of yourselves. It's so important.
My never, and obviously I said this years ago before I became a therapist, and it's partly why I became a therapist, is my never was I never thought that I would say that I was an abused child, but I was, and so were my sisters. And so I know we joke a lot about my relationship with my mom, you know, and obviously.
Well, and you and I use humor to deal with painful situations, much to my mother's chagrin.
Well, I use silence to deal with my mother, so that probably partly to her chagrin as well. The thing is, it's like, I feel like it's important to talk about because, you know, we've talked about discipline on the show before and like what's appropriate and what's not. And I know I've made comments about the fact that I won't spank my kids, and I have a hard time with anyone that uses corporal punishment like that, any kind of hitting. And that is because there is a very fine line between loving somebody and telling them that you're doing this for their own good and hitting them. Like, that is teaching them that if someone loves you and they want the best for you and they're trying to make you be better, they hit you.
Right.
And that is why this is what my when I got my master's degree, this was what I wrote my final paper on.
Your thesis?
My thesis was on this. And the fact that there is such a high correlation with people who were spanking falls in there, believe it or not, but certainly more, you know, more prevalent abuse, physical abuse as a child, more often than not, I think the number at the time when I did the research was 82% of those children went on to be in physically abusive relationships in their life.
Right.
Usually more than one.
Right.
And it becomes
normalized and it becomes, you know, you associate it with love.
Right. You associate it with love. And, you know, and I know, again, like, I know I joke about my relationship with, you know, my mom and how ridiculous my mom can be. And believe me, I got a story that'll help everyone just laugh about it at the end. This was a lot of years of work that I had to do, right, that both my sisters had to do, that my mom actually, you know, will not speak about, oftentimes pretends it did not happen.
Right. It was the big elephant in the room. And every family has that. Every family has something that they haven't talked about that, you know, everyone knows, but there's like a weird invisible wall around it, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, she's flat out denies it most of the time, she'll admit to like one thing that, you know, she did.
Right.
And it's tough because I think that, you know, listen, I can put myself in my mom's position now. Mm-hmm. As a single mom of, you know, two kids. Right. She was a single mom of three girls. And it can, as we both know, it can be overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
So that's stressful. Yeah. I can see why she snapped. I can see why she went where she went to.
Right.
It's just, you know, I think, you know, her owning it and having apologies for that behavior would probably have made all the difference for me and my sisters. And that seems to be something that she can't do. I suspect, right, because she feels, you know, wildly guilty about it.
Well, yeah. And admit, you know, often admitting something means that you have to admit to yourself that it happened. You can't just, right, you can no longer pretend that that was, oh, it was just this, or it was, you know, wasn't that serious or wasn't that bad? Like, no, it had long lasting effects.
Yeah. And it's hard because, you know what? Like my mom used to, I'm not making light of any of this. I just want to say, for anyone who was an abused child or, you know, has had experience with abused children, I'm going to tell jokes because I have, but I'm not making light of it. It's just how I've, you know, learned to kind of cope with it. I was not sure, as, you know, as I grew up, I wasn't really sure if that was abuse. I thought that the way that my mom was with us was normal.
Right.
And that everybody must have gone through that. And I would always say that, you know, I was somewhat abused.
Right.
And, you know, and at one point, like I finally went to therapy, and, you know, I said that to my first therapist and I was like, well, I was somewhat abused as a kid. And he was like, well, can you give me an example of what that is? And I was like, ooh, you know, so I basically told how my mom would go into these like frenzies where she, and you and I know both relate to this, would walk into one of our rooms and it wasn't cleaned the way that she wanted it to be. And she would lose her goddamn mind. Right. And I mean, lose her mind. Like as kids, we had these cubbies and we used to shove all of our clothing like in the back of the cubby, like you do.
Right.
Fold four things in front of the shoved up clothing. So it looked
right,
like.
Right, right. So you can't see it. And, yeah.
Well, she knew that, or throw it in our closet. And she would just, depending on what was going on, she would just lose her crap. And she would pull out, I mean, every single item of clothing that you owned, the closet, things on hangers, on the floor, in the cubbies, posters off the wall, and throw them into the middle of the room, all while screaming at you, calling you names and hitting you and or kicking you or pulling your hair. I thought this was normal. I tell this to my therapist. My therapist was like, so I'm going to ask that you take the word somewhat out of there. And I was like, I just didn't know. I didn't know that. And he was like, that is abuse. And I remember when I told that story for the first time to my ex-husband, he was like, oh, that's totally normal. My mom used to do that. And I was like, oh, really? And he was like, no.
Absolutely not. No, that right.
No, that's not a thing. But, you know, I find myself going into my kids' closets when they're like, it's disgusting. I'm like, oh my God, I can see And I have to like stop myself. Like I want.
It's always, it's never, you know, it's always about what's underneath it, you know? And I think we know. And that, one of the reasons we started this podcast was to call us out on our own shit and be like, I never thought I would do, you know?
Yeah.
Every parent has moments that they're like, I'm really not proud of that. But yeah, it's knowing that there are moments and then there's making that behavior normal. You know what I mean? And yeah, like, I'm sure every parent has screamed something at their kid that they're like, I wish I could just eat those words and take it back. But the kind of abuse that you're talking about, and if anybody out there has dealt with that and doesn't see it as abuse, I hope that they hear this and listen, and that they too can take somewhat out of their vocabulary. And yeah, I think also, the reason that abuse in family and personal relationships is so hard is because it's complicated. It's, you love the person that's also injuring you. So how do you separate those two things? And that's, the basis of trauma.
Yeah. And I know you and I have talked about this. The thing I did with a woman named Leah Kalish and her husband, Bruce, do these, things where I remember calling you and you're like, oh, that's what's it called?
You're killing it right now.
I know. When people step into each other's footsteps, like they
a family constellation thing.
Yeah. Constellation therapy. And I did that a couple years.
Yeah, it's sort of, yeah. It's
you explain it, because I know you actually used to facilitate those from time.
No, I didn't necessarily facilitate it, but I have been a part of them in my own therapy and also with clients at, different treatment centers that I worked at.
Yeah. And for anyone out there that doesn't know, it's basically people who are trained to do this kind of therapy become the family members that you need to work things out with, so that you can talk to them and say the things that you need to say that you actually, haven't been able to say to them, to their face. And I did that a couple years ago, and I found it really, really healing. Because while I, I'm able to look at the craziness that my mom, participates in, and perpetuates, I'm not angry at my mom at all anymore. But, right, I know a lot of people have written us and been like, well, why don't you talk to her? Like, I can't because it just doesn't, it makes me not a good parent.
Mm-hmm.
Because I doubt every single thing that I do as it is as a parent, as we all do, I think.
Right.
When I'm talking to her, I feel like it's impossible to get out of the abuse.
So here's my question for you. How has that shaped and colored the parent you are, the mom you are? What do you think, the relationships that you have and the fears that you have about parenting your own kids?
I will not hit or spank my children. I know I've said this before on the show. In part, that's because I really know that if I was ever to even spank my kid on the butt, either kid, I won't be able to stop.
Right.
Like I won't be able to stop.
You'll lose your, right. There's that.
Yeah. Because, you look to your parents to set the role model, the style of parenting and to be your role model. And there was no in between really with my mom. Either she was calm and fun and we and your friend, or it was the opposite and you just sort of never knew which mom you were going to get.
Right.
So I try to really watch that. I think that it's made the biggest thing I think it's done for me, wrapping my head around that and being the kind of parent I am, is I try at every turn to take responsibility. Whenever I fuck up, whenever they're like, mom, that's, you're being really mean, or you're making me feel bad for something and I'm just a kid. If I had ever said anything like that to my mom, first of all, she would have lost her goddamn mind and it would have been about respect. And I probably would have heard something about the 10 commandments and she would have added a few. It would have been like the 19 commandments.
Right.
I don't know, but like.
What is it? The Mel Brooks thing. The 15 commandments. Oh, I mean the 10 commandments.
History of the World Part 1.
Yeah.
Well, I told you that once my mom told me that, the entire Jewish religion was based on not eating shellfish. And I was like, I did not, that was a commandment, but right. Fine. I say, I'm sorry. I hear them when they say that. And listen, there are times when they've said it to me and I'm like, nope, like right now you're in trouble. And
right.
Don't try and make me think that like every time, you know.
Exactly. Right.
But frequently I have to say, like, you're right, I'm sorry. And I've also been really open with them about the fact that this, you know, that I was abused and that this is the stuff that, you know, we went through as kids. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, and I'm curious to hear, I guess, for our listeners out there, how many people have gone through that and how did they make it through that? And we actually got an email yesterday, mm-hmm. Which was very, very long, from Livy. She said I could say her first name. And I will say she did write this and she, first of all, she thanked you because you, have been an inspiration to her, for most of her life. She uh-huh. loved you on Full and Fuller House, but watching you know, you become the activist that you are and taking a stand really has meant so much to her. And she said she thanked you for being part of the show, but really she thanks you for being so outspoken in your beliefs. And then she went on to say that she grew up in a home with a mother like mine. Then that, you know, she felt like her mom had some personal mental issues and, you know, it was a lot of trauma and that she wanted to thank me for saying that, you know, I had to cut ties with my mom because it was detrimental to me. And right. she said, thank you for planting the seed and helping me learn how to cut ties with my mother and helping me see I can be so much more than what my mother thinks I am because I don't think like her.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that, like I said, that's partly why I became a therapist in the end, because I think that trauma and I wanted to work with kids.
Right.
Now I work more with moms, which is kind of funny to prevent this instead.
But that's, I mean, that I think moms, you know, moms definitely need therapy. I mean, my God, us as moms, we get it.
Yeah.
You lose your mind. And if you don't have the capabilities of doing anything different, or if you were raised in a violent household, but that was just the norm, you know, it can very easily become your norm.
We haven't talked about Native deodorant in a while.
You know, we haven't, but I use it every day.
So do I. I have to tell you, and I'm not even embarrassed to say it, I have about 5 different Native deodorants, and depending on my mood, I use a different one because they all smell so good. Yeah.
Oh, I actually, like, I start looking forward to when I'm running out of deodorant because I'm like, oh yeah, I get to pick a new scent.
Exactly. I'm obsessed. Like,
right now I'm using the vanilla chai and it smells so freaking good.
Sir, I don't have that one. I have the lilac. I've been using that more than any of them, but also the peony between the two of them sometimes. I mean, Native is such an awesome company because they care about your armpits, and really shouldn't everyone care about your armpits?
Yes.
I feel like they should. But that's really why their deodorants ingredients include things that you've actually heard of, like coconut oil and shea butter.
Mm-hmm.
And another plus is that their products are not tested on animals, and almost everything is vegan. And I know that's really important to both of us, not testing on animals, because what is the point of that?
Exactly.
It's risk-free to try Native. Every product comes with free shipping within the U.S., and there is a free 30-day return and exchange policy, which is
so amazing. if you happen to get a scent that you're like, you know what, not what I was hoping for, you can return it and get something else.
Yeah, you can, and there are tons of options to get something else in case you've had that happen to you. They have a line of sensitive deodorants for people with any sort of baking soda sensitivities.
Right. And,
you know, plastic-free deodorants if you are trying to cut down on your plastic consumption. And even an unscented option if you're all about your natural scent. And, you know, it's pretty awesome. And like we said, you can just try something a little different and keep rotating. Plus, there are seasonal scents that...
Oh, the seasonal scents are so good. And you can even subscribe to Native, so you'll never have to sweat about running out of deodorant again.
Okay, see what you did there.
Yeah, see what I did there? But it's true. You can subscribe. Like, you never have to worry about running out of deodorant or getting down to that little nub that you're, like, trying to just scratch onto your armpit when it comes out of the container. You know you've done it. You know you've done it.
Exactly what you're talking about.
Exactly. So if you want to make the switch to Native today by going to nativedeo.com/say this or use promo code say this at checkout and get 20% off your first order. That's nativedeo.com/say this or just use promo code say this at checkout for 20% off your first order. And I promise it'll be your first and definitely not your last.
And you don't even have to spell out deodorant.
Yeah, there's a book, and I think I've talked about it on the show, that I talk about all the time that I absolutely fucking love. And it's called The Body Keeps the Score.
Yep.
By,
right now, it's in my bag. I can see.
By Bessel van der Kolk.
Yeah.
And I recommended it to you. My boyfriend recommended it to me. I'm recommending it to our listeners. Really, when you read it, you go, oh, yeah. I mean, we all have varying types of trauma. Some little ones, some big ones, but it's there. And this book really wonderfully describes how it physically changes the way your brain functions. It can change your DNA. It can change so many things. And, I think we now need to really be looking at that. Like, trauma is a huge, it's a huge problem. And I would even dare to say is probably at the base of most of our issues in society is unhealed, unresolved trauma, whether it's drug use, whether it's abuse, whether it's, anything.
Yeah.
It's unhealed and undealt with trauma layered upon layer. So anyway, if anybody out there is listening and wants to pick up this book, it's great. I have no affiliation to it. I don't, make anything off it, but I literally have been recommending it to all my friends after I read it because
it's so good. I'm halfway through.
And it also talks about, family constellation therapy and psychodrama and EMDR and things like that. My boyfriend's actually getting trained in EMDR wants to specialize in amazing trauma work. And it's so important. So I really am proud of you for telling the story because I know it's not easy. I know it's not something fun to say. I know it feels awkward, I'm sure.
Well, it feels like a betrayal.
Of course.
And that's what I would say to moms out there, It took me a really long time, first of all, to stop repeating that pattern, because as I said, you tend to get into physically abusive relationships when you've been physically abused as a kid. And I did that over and over and over again.
Right.
And I feel I've broken that pattern at least. It took me a long time to realize that it wasn't me. When you're an abused child, it's like you just constantly, as a child, it was like, what can I do to make her love me? What can I do to make her not hit me, to not feel this way about me? I must be so bad. And it took a long time for me to be able to rectify that and be like, it wasn't me. But that started with the getting rid of the somewhat abused. And when your abuser is good at what they do, and this is sexually or physically, you feel complacent in the abuse. You feel like you brought it on. You did something to make that person do what they did to you. And so I would say to anyone out there that's listening, like if you've wrestled with it and you thought, that was probably not okay that my mom or my dad, treated me like that, I would look deeper into that and start realizing that you're not betraying them. They actually betrayed you. And you don't need to pass that on to, your kids. And that's why I'm so open, with my kids about it. And I try really, really hard to let them know that even when I'm mad at them,
right,
that I love them.
Right.
You know, and not in a.
I tell my kids that all the time. And I, you know, I'm like, I am so mad at you right now. I love you, but God damn it. So mad, you know?
Yeah.
And it's
when I'm screaming at them, I won't ever say I'm doing this because I love you, because that was a big, again, my mom was big on that. Like, right. This is my job, is I, you know, I love you. And so I need to teach you this lesson. And I just, that's so hard to, you know, to undo, like to unravel that stuff and be like,
absolutely.
Oh, right. Fuck, you know, and then you get a boyfriend that, you know, smacks you around when you're a teenager, like I did. And right. You're like, you know, and then he's like, but you know, I'm doing this because I love you. And if you want us to work, then, you know, you're like, okay, like, it's just, you know, your brain's not even fully developed until you're, I don't know if mine's fully developed now.
I was going to say, I think sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly.
Yeah.
12 step, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're on the slow end.
in my overalls. Whee!
Oh, they're so amazing though.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's, I, you know, I know I said, thank you for sharing the story, but I think it's really brave of you because you do a podcast about your faults as a mom.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I have no idea what you're talking about. I am a perfect parent.
Yes, I know.
Nothing wrong.
Uh-huh.
No, but you know, you do a podcast about this and I think in that way it's huge because you know, you're accountable. You're like, these are my fuck ups, but these are my fuck ups publicly. Right. And you know, I do the same thing. It's like,
this is so do you
publicly.
Right.
When you shine light on them, kind of like you were saying, you know, once you started looking at it and talking about the secrets and talking about all of that kind of stuff, you air it out. It suddenly, it, you know, doesn't become something that you're terrified to talk about. It becomes a tool that you have to work with others or to, you know, help yourself or to kind of, you know, break down things in your own life, in your own family. I mean, it's, you know, I think we're all, you know, I mean, the journey of like finding out more about ourselves is always kind of important. And sometimes it takes a while to look at the really ugly, unhappy stuff that we don't want to.
Well, you know, what's interesting is that, and thank you for saying that. I appreciate it. And
it's the only nice thing I'm going to say to you today. So don't get used to it.
Well, please, you're not going to be talking to anyone for a couple of weeks. So I'm sure. This
true.
Listen, even now the child in me, as I'm talking about it out loud, I'm like, oh my God, I don't know if she listens to this show. I hope she doesn't listen to this show. I hope nobody tells her because she's going to be mad at me.
Right.
Right there. Like all the time I go right there. I've never heard anybody talk about publicly being abused, like anyone that I looked up to, you know, being abused sexually or physically until, and don't just roll your eyes all you want, but until Oprah.
Very true. I will not roll my eyes at that one. She came out so publicly and advocated so beautifully and incredibly for incest and sexual assault survivors.
So is Anthony Edwards. He has an entire organization dedicated to boys who have been sexually abused. And I watched the town hall that Oprah led that he was on, must have been sometime before the pandemic. And it was really interesting to hear, you know, just people who had been abused one way, and some of them were physical, some, you know, some were sexual, physical, emotional. And it's, you know, seeing her talk about it for the first time on her show, I remember thinking so much of this resonates with me, but, and I was young, you know, I was still in my teens, but I was like, but I'm not, you know, no one's
right. Why does this sound familiar? Cause that wasn't me. Right.
Right. Like I wasn't raped. This, I don't know why this feels so. There's things that she said though, and it was the like loyalty and the feeling guilty and feeling complacent in it. And, you know, it was very eye-opening to me. And I really like held that sort of in my heart for a long time before I started talking about it. And when I started talking about it in grad school, in front of people, I did it, you know, because I was like, well, you know, if she can do it and she's on this huge scale and, you know, everyone knows who she is and she can talk about it, then why can't I? It is also one of the things that when the last season was airing before it aired and they were looking for ultimate viewers for her show to come and see her show. There was, I'm not joking, you guys, there was like a 12-page questionnaire on their website. And I just happened to see it at work, by the way. So You're welcome, Janie Bellis. I wasn't really working. I was filling out the questionnaire. So I filled it out. And that was a huge part of, it was like, what, you know, tell us an aha moment that you learned, you know. Okay. And that was my, you know, I wrote about being abused. I wrote about seeing Brooke Shields talk about postpartum depression. Mm-hmm. And knowing that that's how I had PPD, was remembering that stuff.
Right.
And so then, you know, as I've mentioned a gazillion times, because fuck that, of course I'm gonna, when I went to Australia with Oprah, because I fucking went to Australia with Oprah.
Right. We know.
I know. It's also the 10-year anniversary of that this week.
Aww.
Yeah. So we're all, we are friends. Yeah.
Things crazy. Are 10 years.
Yeah. 10 years. And, you know, and that's when I found out I was pregnant with Lulu. And so, anyway, when I got to meet her, it's one of the first things I said to her. I said, you know, it's because of you that I wrapped my head around the fact that I was abused as a child and became a therapist and talk about it and try to help other people get through it. Yeah. And, you know, and right away she got teary eyed and, you know, and gave me a hug and was like, that means so much to me. And I was like, oh my God, you smell like cookies. Can you hug me for the rest of my life?
It's not Santa Claus.
I'm not kidding though. She does. She smells like cookies. I can't explain it. She smells like sugar cookies. I'm not joking.
The perfume she wears.
I think it's just her soul. I think
okay. So Oprah's soul smells like sugar cookies. I'm glad that we established that. Extremely important and totally fact-based information.
And that's what my research has uncovered.
Research has uncovered that Oprah smells like cookies. So
yep. She smells like cookies.
I mean, look, I'm not going to say she doesn't. I bet she does. I bet like a big hug from Oprah, I'd be like, it just smells like cookies and happy.
She does.
I love Oprah. But you know, what a great story, because, you know, I think it's a reminder to all of us that that sharing the things that have brought us so much pain or the things that we're so ashamed of, is the only way it brings them out into the light for other people.
Yeah.
You know what I was sitting and looking at today?
What?
Was my love book.
Oh, really? Really?
I was looking at the one that Mescal made for me. And I was looking at the one that I made for him. And I was thinking, like, these are so personalized and creative. Like, each one had things in it that are so unique to us. And our little characters look totally like us. They're dressed like us. I mean, it's just such a great gift. It's
really?
I can't get over it. Like, I was looking at it and, you know, how many pages you can add. And I remember when I was creating mine for him, like, there's just so many ways to customize it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a personalized gift that helps people express feelings that might be difficult to say out loud because, you know, some of us are less feelingy than others.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And, you know, you can create characters, like I said, that look just like yourself and the recipient, mm-hmm. and all the features that make them unique. You can even choose your favorite hairstyles, outfits, all of this stuff. You can do it for your kids. I mean, there's just so many options.
I wouldn't know because I've never gotten a love book. I hear that you could make one for your best friend, but weirdly,
my best friend
hasn't done that.
Right. Well, I mean, right. For Galentine's Day or Valentine's Day or birthday or anniversary or like I did for Christmas, you know, so many ways to do it. And every love book is custom and unique and a gift most people have never received. Like you just said, you've never gotten one.
No, I haven't.
No. And they're great for somebody who already has everything. And for about the same cost as a flower delivery, you can have a completely personalized gift that will be there for years to come. Mm. So celebrate whatever holiday, special occasion, friendiversary, you know, whatever it is, you go to visit lovebookonline.com/say this. to receive a special 20% discount only for our listeners. Again, that's lovebookonline.com/say this.
You go and visit lovebookonline.com/say this and maybe make your best friend one already. God.
Who would that be?
remember when I did my post about sexual assault.
Yeah.
And
I
have never really talked about it fully or publicly or anything. And I don't know that I'm there and ready to yet. But it was sort of the same thing. And I was like, you know what, if Christine Blasey Ford can go in front of the Senate and discuss the things that happened to her when I had extremely identical situations, and if not worse, happened to me, you know, mm-hmm. that was when I wrote my post and I started talking to the organizers at RAIN, the Rape, Abuse, and Incest yeah. National Network. And of course, this was during the pandemic, right at the beginning of the pandemic, but, you know, I talk to them about going and advocating and potentially, you know, testifying for Senator and, you know, whatever we can to get this conversation more out in the world, and not just in regards to, you know, the Me Too movement, but to child abuse, which is yeah. still such a secretive thing. And it's also something that right now we know is
on the rise.
It's on the rise. Yeah. It's on the rise, if only by looking at the numbers of under that aren't getting reported, that all of a sudden there was a sharp drop in the reporting of yep. domestic violence and certain, which you know means it's not going anywhere, just nobody's talking about it.
No, yeah, nobody is. And I was going to say that in the pandemic, it's made me hyper aware of the fact that, you know, any kid that is not in school, and most schools are closed, and I advocate for schools being closed right now. I understand that they should be. We want this pandemic under control. Right. That is by far, and I work with, you know, I have a lot of clients that are teachers and administrators, and I've had at least two so far come and, you know, talk to me feeling so devastated because a kid was being one physically abused and one was being sexually abused, and they were still in school. And what they kept saying is, what if our school wasn't in session?
Right.
We wouldn't know. And what about all these other, you know, what is happening in people's homes right now?
Right.
It is very, you know, it's very scary. And
I wanted to ask you, what is Anthony Edwards? Do you know the name of
we're talking so we can
foundation. Talk. Yeah. Because I would love to, you know, create awareness around that. I think,
yeah,
What RAIN does, started by Tori Amos, who
yep.
also was very public about her abuse and sexual assault. And I, you know, the women that come forward are, and men are so incredibly brave. And I would love to, you know, get that word out there. And also really most importantly is to make sure and remind everyone that Oprah smells like cookies.
Well,
that, right.
I also think that, you know, we have been in while saying, you know, I want to make sure that people are aware that, of course, you know, we have to look out for other kids, you know, like check on your friends. I'm sure people who were close to my mom maybe suspected that she was hurting us from time to time. But it's not. It's not something I think anyone really knew, you know, right. like
it was also, I mean, you know, look, the 70s and the 80s were, it was different. We didn't understand the, you know, childhood wasn't a thing that really was investigated or researched or anything until like the 60s and 70s. I mean, you know, it really wasn't, it just
oh, didn't. Oh,
and
no.
So it wasn't until then that we were like, oh
yeah,
maybe beating the shit out of kids to teach them a lesson is not the way to go. Anthony Edwards' organization is 1 in 6.
Yeah, 1 in 6.
And it's the number 1IN6.org. And it's in reference to the fact that 1 in 6 men have been sexually abused. And that is something that really goes underreported.
Yeah, it does.
I actually had a conversation online recently with someone whose husband was in the military. And I had read an article about, you know, the estimate is that, you know, 100,000 men in the military alone are sexually assaulted every year,
yeah.
but don't
yeah.
report it.
Yeah.
Because of the shame and, you know, all that. And it, you know, I think, again, opening up that conversation about abuse happening as children really allows us to follow that line and sort of that how that trauma develops and where it goes. And it yeah. goes to, you know, sexually assaulting others. And it goes to, you know, all of these other problems, anxiety, depression, all of these things. So, you know, I think just we need to continue pushing that conversation. And I know, you know, it was hard, I think, too, because some of it kind of got co-opted by like the QAnon stuff.
Yeah.
The, you know, human trafficking and Save the Children and all this kind of stuff. And it's a really important conversation as far as child abuse and things. But it was, you know, I think people were like, oh my God, I can't even talk about this because then, you know, QAnon.
Yeah, people jump on the fact that apparently Oprah is trafficking children, you know, and if you're—
oh my God, that's totally what's going to happen. They're going to listen to this and be like, yeah, Oprah smells like cookies because— and then QAnon's going to come find us and then,
She lives in a gingerbread house also.
Fattening children off to—
I do also want to say that, in this pandemic, like you had mentioned, that domestic abuse is certainly on the rise as well. So again, if you're checking on your friends, and you should, you know, if you think something's up with a friend, go with your instinct and ask if they're okay. You know, it certainly in the relationships I was in where someone was hurting me, I hid it. People didn't know.
Of course.
Know, they didn't ask. Maybe if someone had, I would have been like, oh, you know, someone knows, maybe it's time for me to get out.
So I
know it's a very serious topic and we're not always typically serious, but I do think that,
I'm always dead serious.
Oh, I know you are. Oh, I know. Speaking of not being serious, but also hand to God, this fucking happened. Apparently, the other day on Facebook, I don't know, cause I blocked my mother. It was my sister's, fiance's, birthday. And, you know, my sister who passed away and, so Daniel's birthday. And apparently when my mom wished him happy birthday on Facebook, she decided to post links to her bio.
What? Stop it. Bio on what? On fucking LinkedIn?
No. What? Her bio to Gramps has a ponytail.
Oh my God. No. Oh my God.
Swear to God. And I shit you not. Not only is it like a page and a half long, I'm not kidding.
Okay.
There's a fair amount of it that's steeped in fiction. But my favorite part was at the end where she said that she owes everything to her 3 children and her 14 grandchildren who have given her so much more than she has given them. My older sister has 10 children. My younger sister has 4 children. My mom has 16 grandchildren.
Oh.
So.
Well, not if you don't include your 2.
I guess not. We're out of luck.
We know because the bio to Gramps had a ponytail is out there and it's getting the broad awareness.
Google Gramps has a ponytail if you want to.
What I was going to say is also we had a correction corner. I don't know. That's what
it wasn't calling. Really a correction.
It was, and it's something that we realized after the fact that we were like, this may need
a teachable moment.
Right.
We'll Oprah it out as a teachable moment. Last episode that we did with Frank Mink, I made a joke about Jews having horns. I made it because I'm Jewish, but really I made it because it's something that, as I grew up, I didn't know at first that was like a thing. That's actually a weird thing that people believe about Jews.
I didn't even know that was it.
Yeah. That they're from the devil. They have horns. They have to hide them under the yarmulke, you know, or under the wig if you're an Orthodox Jewish woman, or they shave them down. And so when I got to college and people met me for the first time who'd never met a Jew before, that got asked to me, you know, several times. Like in all honesty, people were like, you know, where are your horns? Like, what do you do about your horns? And so
that's horrifying.
It's pretty horrifying. I joke about it because really when you think about it, it's like the most fucking ridiculous.
Are you fucking kidding? Right.
It's just absurd. And I've had to teach my children that, you know, certain things like stereotypes about Jews, you know, that they're cheap, that they control the world, apparently, you know, that we have horns and that we like pickles. I don't know. I mean, I do like pickles a lot. I know you don't. You know, I didn't want to make light of the situation. I dropped it in as a joke because, as we said in this episode, we both have a hard time keeping it serious for too fucking long.
Yeah, exactly.
But we wanted to address it because I wasn't trying to make light of that. It is actually something people believe about Jews.
Right.
I don't know why.
And it, right. And it was, you know, it's sort of that thing when like, it's when you're the oppressed taking ownership of something and making a joke out of it, which is not always necessarily, you know, best way to handle it, but what else, you know, what are you going to do?
I get it.
And again, it's an important conversation, but also tying it into the fact that, you know, this is, these are the things that you're doing to overcome the way that you grew up, which is I fucked up. Let me apologize. Let me say it. Let me be public about it. Let me talk about, you know, my parenting screw ups and, you know, laugh about it and move on and apologize. And
when you know better, you do better.
Yep.
And I'm constantly trying to know more so I can A, do more and be of service. Like we talked about on that episode, we both mm-hmm. want to be of service all the time, but more also so that I can do better. I want to do better. I love my mom. Truly. Right. I love my mom. She did a lot of things really right. I am who I am today, perhaps by accident for some of it, because of who she is and who she, you know, how she raised me. I do love her. I'm sad that, you know, we don't seem to be able to find any sort of common ground to move forward. Just because I don't speak to her doesn't mean that I don't love her. I had to take ownership of my life and I have to do better for my children.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's pretty much it.
Oh, families are motherfucking complicated. Yeah.
Totally thought you were going to say motherfucking cocksuckers. Literally that.
I turn everything ridiculous now into a song. Like I literally walk around my house singing to the dog all the time. Like we're going to get some cereal. I don't know why. It's just a stupid thing I do. So yeah. That,
Sweet the musical. That's what I'm going to call it.
Right. It's so perfect. Bad. But if you want to get a hold of us, if you want to follow the show, you can follow at Never Thought I'd Say This on Instagram. You can send us a message. You can do what, you know, repost the show. We'd love it. You can comment on, I don't know, whatever you want, that we're idiots, that we're brilliant. I don't know. We prefer to keep the hate mail to a minimum. But yes, at Never Thought I'd Say This on Instagram. You can email us. neverthoughtid@protonmail.com. Mm-hmm. And you can follow me at Jody Sweeten.
You can follow me
on Instagram and Twitter. And you are?
Celia Behar on Instagram and Twitter as well.
Yep. Guaranteed to piss you off in the first 5 minutes. No, I'm just kidding. We're not.
No, I think that was fair. I think that I'd stand by that.
Maybe 20. Yeah. No, we've been better. We've been on good behavior. But anyway, I love you. I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
Fucking rock. You're amazing.
I'm trying anyway.
Look, I'm trying to give you a fucking compliment. Would you just shut up?
I know what. I'm not good at that. Okay. Thank you.
I know. All right, you guys. Remember, keep killing the parenting game.
And not your kids.
For real. Yeah.
For real.
'Never Thought I'd Say This' is a co-production by Audioboom and Main Event Media.